Welcome to the next Spotlight series. I'm Pavel Schubert, and I would like to welcome here my special guest today. This is Veronika Valkovičová. Hello, Veronika.
Hello, thank you so much for the invite.
Maybe first I'll tell you once again for East Meets West. So we are a network of LGBTIQ professionals in Central and Eastern Europe. And why do we do all of these Spotlight series? It's very simple. Because throughout the year, we meet so many interesting personalities and hear so many different people. And we simply want to share all of this with our network and actually with everybody who listens to such a podcast. And it's exactly the case today. So I already heard once Veronika talking about the topic of ERGs, and I just could not resist to ask to come and speak to us so that we can produce additional or a new Spotlight series. So maybe who is Veronika? I don't know if you with few words, Veronika, if you can tell our listeners, who are you?
Well, usually I say that I am a diversity worker, but there's all kinds of diversity workers. This is a person who is genuinely interested in diversity and inclusion in organizations. But I myself, I am a university lecturer and a researcher. And what I deal with are two things, basically. I look into the area of discrimination and harassment in workplaces and in organizations in generally. But I also am a researcher of social movements, so I am interested in activism and collective action. And an ERG, an employee resource group, is actually something that is right in the middle of this all.
Excellent. Thank you for a short but very, very important introduction so people know whom I have the pleasure to talk to. So ERGs. So let's start with a simple question. ERG / employee resource group / business resource group. So what is it? Can you kind of describe it for us? What the meaning is?
Well, an ERG or an employee resource group is a fairly new concept. Well, when we think about political science being an old kind of science, but it's a relatively new concept which we use to describe collectives of employees which are invested in change, and it can be anything basically that is concerned with the workers' rights, the workers' conditions. Issues of anti-discrimination, basically. We tend to think that this is somehow connected to corporate social responsibility, but it's a bit different because employee resource groups are created by employees for employees in order to foster and promote their rights and their demands. So that's why we talk about employee resource groups when we talk about workers' rights or the well-being of workers. When we talk about business resource groups, that can be a bit different. Sometimes you do not, it's very difficult to distinguish them. But when we speak about a business resource groups, what we genuinely mean is that this is a group that's somehow useful for the business or the business is investing in a way into that group. So me personally, because I'm interested in issues of discrimination, harassment, and workers' rights and conditions, I tend to research employee resource groups as units or as I said, collectives that push for change within an organization. I hope that makes sense.
Oh, yes, it makes sense very much. And me personally, I'm learning as well something new. So this is great. I mean, when we talk about ERG, so the employee resource group, you said it's fairly actually new concept. How about LGBTIQ employee resource group? Is this totally something new or is there any history already or certain track record?
Well, when we genuinely talk about workers organizing, that's a very old concept. Even if you think about unions, for example, that goes way, way back. But employee resource groups are usually concerned with a particular group. We say that they are concerned with grievances of a specific group. And the earliest ones, the earliest ERGs that are quite comparable to those that we have these days, were actually founded in the North American environment in the 60s. And these were resource groups concerning the rights and well-being of Black Americans. If you remember your history classes, 1960s were the times of social unrest. There were many campaigns, social justice campaigns for Black Americans. And this also was the time when we see the beginning of LGBTIQ employee resource groups, because 1969 was the year of Stonewall riots. And subsequently in the 70s, there were many activist organizations founded in the North American environment as well. But what essentially started off LGBTIQ ERGs, and let's say that this was the time, the 70s, 80s, even 90s, I would say 80s most prominently, was the actual context in the North American environment. We know that, genuinely speaking about the issue of workers' rights, that's always been a struggle in the North American environment. But also, few people know this, but even the 70s and the 80s were the times when in the US, there were still the what we call anti-sodomy laws. In the early 80s, the US Supreme Court ruled that it is okay to criminalize private homosexual acts, which is a level of criminalization that was already gone in Europe at that time. Not even the socialist Czechoslovakia had that kind of criminalization. So What do you see in the 70s and later 80s, 90s in North America is LGBTIQ employees organizing themselves for a better working environment, for a more welcoming environment, and for better recognition of their rights and anti-discrimination. So just trying to push for social change within their employment.
That's an interesting to look back, actually, how this developed. So would you also see a certain change when it comes to this ERGs? So you said that actually what the reasons were in the 80s. What are the reasons right now? So What would be the reason why such an ERG would exist in 2021?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. Just a tiny disclaimer before I start talking about this. I'm sure that there are ERGs at this point that only fulfill the function of socialization. In Europe, we see that at this point, the main objective is for LGBTIQ employees to know each other and to socialize together. But what we also know from research is that there are many ERGs throughout Europe or outside of Europe as well, of course, which are more of an activist unit. They are trying to push for social change, but also change of company policies. So that is where we can talk about a variety of objectives that ERGs can have. And I can talk about this for hours, so stop me if we're running out of time. So first of all, there's the visibility and community. Visibility is very important because, for example, we know that employees who are outed, LGBTIQ employees who are outed at work, are much more content and happy at work than those who feel the need to hide their sexual orientation or gender identity. So LGBTIQ ERGs can actually help employees to be outed and to feel comfortable with being out with their LGBTIQ identity. But also visibility helps to challenge that norm in an organization that everyone and everything is straight. So even just by existing, an ERG brings diversity to our social prejudices, to our social stereotypes in general. And from this, we get to community. Community is very important, not only because, as I said, many ERGs exist to provide a space for socialization, but it's very important if you are a minority and experience that minority status, experience discrimination, harassment, it's very important to be able to be with your own people, as we would say, to discuss your group specific problems, to discuss the issues that you are facing, and to genuinely have the feeling that you can be who you are in employment among your own people. So But that what also comes with this is the ability to educate other people. ERGs provide information not only to LGBTIQ employees, but non-LGBTIQ employees or those who are not outed. It's a great source of information on discrimination, harassment, for example. What is also important to remember is this is not only about visibility and community. These are the two most important objectives that an ERG can fulfill. But there's also what I call political objectives, being a collective and individual voice mechanism. And when I say voice mechanism, we mean a queue, a platform, to voice your concerns, to object something, to lobby your employer, for example. We know from research that LGBTIQ employees are much less likely to voice concerns or to object or to raise a particular issue because they experience stigmatization, oppression, discrimination. They tend to be much more quiet in employment. And an ERG can be a collective voice where you do not have to be worried that it's just you who's raising an issue. It's a whole group of people. But as I said, it's a way to create a community so you can come to the community and voice a particular concern. So that is what we mean when I say individual voice mechanisms. So this is a much more political aspect of it. And just a last point concerning this, ERGs can function as consultancies. As I said, they are a source of information. I know in Bratislava, there's a particular company that I know where an LGBTIQ ERG is helping with company policy analysis at this point concerning parental benefits for LGBTIQ employees. So information, voice mechanism, visibility, and community. There's many benefits, many objectives that an ERG can actually have. It just depends on the particular ERG, what they want to do, what they are interested in.
You mentioned Bratislava, so I was wondering what is now the situation in not only Bratislava, but in Slovakia? Are there many ERGs, so LGBTIQ ERGs, or is this only really a handful of corporates or companies who already established such ERG groups?
It's very difficult for me to say the actual number. I was asking, there's a group, Diversity Pro, it's an umbrella NGO, and I was asking about this, and I'm sure they would say there is a handful, but it's very difficult to answer these questions because some are more active than others. Some are functioning at this point formally. But there's also some other organizations that I know of which do not actually have an ERG, but are active somehow in supporting a broader social movement of LGBTIQ rights. For example, there's companies that do not have an ERG because they have 5 employees currently, but they do support financially and symbolically the Pride marches in Bratislava. So I would say there's a couple of organizations that are somehow raising the issues of LGBTIQ persons' rights, but I would say there's few that have ERGs. Mostly it's international companies with a diverse a set of employees, basically. I do not mean to say that it's very few Slovak companies. There's a few companies that were founded in Slovakia as well, but I think that we are yet to see a boom in this regard. I hope there will be one coming along.
Well, I'm very much keeping fingers crossed that this will also be the number will be increasing in Slovakia. What if a company does not have such an ERG? So let's maybe try to have a look at it from the perspective of the company. So imagine that I am a diversity lead or inclusion diversity lead in a company. What would you recommend me? How can I start building such an ERG? And would it be really my job, or is it more the job of employees?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. there's many ways that an ERG can actually start. This, I was talking about the early ERGs of the 60s, 70s, 80s. Many of the early ERGs were actually founded by employees and had very little to do with the management, mostly because many of them had a very hostile management towards the causes. So these initiatives were very much disconnected from the company structure. But these days we see more and more a different process actually coming from the different side. I know a couple of initiatives that were started by employees, for example. If an employee these days in Slovakia in particular is starting an ERG, they usually go directly to the management or the HR to seek support, which is a great way to go. I mean, you do want to have the support of the management and the employees. But recently, I was also lecturing about anti-discrimination in a company where the management and the HR were looking to start an ERG, but there were no employees besides the HR personnel who wanted to join that group. And this is genuinely a very bad way to go because you cannot have an employee resource group without actual employees. So, so I would say, if you're seeking advice how to do this, it's the best way is, of course, when an employee starts an ERG. If you are an employee, if you feel that you're on your own, or even if you're in HR and you're wondering if the employees want to start something like this and you want to provide them with support, I would start with an anonymous company survey, just outlining the proposal for such an ERG, what would the objectives be? Be very clear about this. There's at this point, there's no room for speculation. It's just better to be direct. This is what it's going to be. This is what the objectives would be. This is what we're going to do. And just to ask the employees whether they would be interested in joining such a group, whether this is something that concerns them. But I also think that if you have the time and the resources to do a climate survey, it's a great way to go. Many companies, they do climate surveys about how their employees feel about particular issues. So I think it's a good way to maybe do a climate survey about these issues as well, to see how generally employees feel about such a group, such causes, because, and this is me talking from the perspective of social movements, if you have a very hostile climate in the company towards an ERG like this, you can expect that the social costs of people organizing are going to be very high. They will not be particularly inclined. Only those super motivated will be inclined to engage in such an ERG. So it's always good to know who wants to join, with what kind of objectives, what kind of expectations, and what genuinely the employees think about these issues and about such ERG. Just to be aware if there is some kind of hostility in the company about this.
Are the LGBTI ERGs only for LGBTIQ people, or should also maybe allies be invited? Many times we talk about straight allies as well.
Yeah. Well, I heard about ERGs where they only want LGBTIQ employees, and I think to a certain extent it is legitimate for them to demand some kind of a safe space, of course. But you see less and less of these, and more of mixes, and what we would call gay straight alliances. I mean, gay straight alliance is usually something that we use for schools. But I think an ERG is essentially a gay-straight alliance because you have straight allies working with an ERG. And allies are actually crucial because they have the values, they have the energy, they sometimes have much less stigma, and they have the knowledge that they spread. So they are crucial for an LGBTIQ ERG to be there. But as I said, I totally understand if some ERGs want to be organized as safe spaces, particularly in hostile company environments. It is very important.
I very much like how you actually now described the LGBTIQ ERGs that are alliances. right? Because they in fact they are. Yeah, great. When we look at it from the employee perspective, so obviously if there should be employees who are actually starting such a ERG. So what would be the tips for them, right? Is there anything what actually is highly recommended and something which is totally like, please don't go that way? Is there anything like this?
That's a tough question. I think every company environment is quite specific. And in social movements, when we talk about activist groups, activist organization, we have to take into consideration many different factors. As I said, the hostility of that environment is a crucial factor. How socially costly it is to be actually an activist in a particular environment. It's also important what is the network? Who are the outside allies? Is the management an ally? Is the HR an ally? I mean, allies certainly help, but if you have too strong a connection to the management, you become what we call a transactional activist, means that you're under control of the management and your decisions, your agenda no longer only belongs to you. So, I mean, what I'm trying to say is that it's very specific when it comes to particular environments. But I would say that we were talking about employees, about employee resource groups, but we certainly also have to talk about the way the management behaves, because they are essential actors in all this. And specifically when it comes to violence, harassment, discrimination happening in employment. I mean, since the 80s, organizational research has been telling us that the sole crucial factor of whether discrimination harassment is happening in workplace is how the management goes on about it, how they solve these problems. And so I think they're essential actors. And if there is any kind of support from the management coming towards the ERG, it's good. It's always good. Just it's a very complicated relationship as well at the same time. So I would, if there's anything, any advice that I can give, keep your management close, but also not, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, what if there is just one single person in the company? Would this be also seen as a potential success? Because in our East Meets West definition, we believe that every single person can make a difference. Mm-hmm. So would this also apply for this ERG setup?
Well, personally, I believe that one person can make a change. But as a social movement scholar, I have to tell you that the more people, the better. But it's always better when there is more than one person. Because two people are already a team and they can support each other also emotionally, time-wise as well. So if you have two people or more, it helps much more. But I would not, I would genuinely not downplay the power of an individual. I see more and more companies these days building up the narrative in their policies of a whistleblower. They are promoting whistleblowers as those people who, when they see something, they say something. So they're trying to, in their policies and in their actual behavior, the companies are trying to foster the whistleblower behavior. So to empower people to object if something unethical is happening. But then again, as a social scientist, I have to tell you that there's a downside to it. Unfortunately, we cannot expect people to be comfortable in this position. Some people are comfortable in a position of a whistleblower, but social science research tells us that the majority of us, we are not. We are not comfortable with stepping outside of social norms or community norms, of being that one person who complains, being the troublemaker. So I think it's quite difficult for companies at the same time. I mean, the whistleblower narrative is a good way to go. But we cannot expect an individual in a hostile environment, let's say, to be that one actor of change. There should always be support somehow of that one person.
So imagine that there is already an ERG, And there are, as you said, several already in Slovakia. What do you think makes them potentially stronger to the future? Mm-hmm. Like what agenda of ERG should be there to really have this ERG well established, well respected, and also strong and powerful in the company?
Mm-hmm. That's difficult to say, because my subsequent question would be respected and strong concerning whom or for whom. But again, I'll go to my previous definition of ERG being an employees group for employees. And I think that it's and what I see genuinely in many of the ERGs is the difficulty of trying to work with the various demands and objectives and expectations that members of ERGs have. It is generally difficult, not only for ERGs, but in other activist organizations. I mean, if you want to run an organization like that, you cannot expect that everyone is there with the same set of values and expectations. Everyone wants to have a different outcome. You, as the main organizer, you have to get to know what they all have from it. What is it that they want to achieve? And I think that this is why it's very difficult to have at least some aspect of democratic decision making and running of that organization, so that everyone gets their voice heard, since it's a voice mechanism, but everyone also has the ability and possibility to achieve what they want from it. At least that creates a stable activist environment. And I think that these organizations, just like any other activist organizations, are more respected or much stronger if they are stable, if they know what they want to achieve, and this is created and communicated within that group. But it's very difficult to achieve. Democratic decision making is very painful, even in other non-corporate activist organizations. Like, I can tell you, I'm part of a few, and it's very difficult generally.
ERGs only or do they make sense only in business environment, so really like corporate environment, or are ERGs also suitable in, I don't know, municipalities or, I don't know, government organizations? Mm-hmm. Is there any kind of thoughts of this?
I think that if we go back to the definition of an ERG as a gay straight alliance, you can think of a gay straight alliance in any kind of environment. I mean, we know that they are quite functional in schools, for example. So I personally believe that they can be, as gay straight alliances can be useful in other organizations as well, in all kinds of employments. Let's say, I mean, there's all kinds of companies that have a variety of contracts and there's a variety of technical aspects to the work done there. So I personally believe that gay straight alliances are very useful because they create that sense of shared values. And it's very difficult to persuade the majority to be on the side of a minority, and specifically when it's, let's not kid ourselves, this is a very stigmatized identity to be an LGBTIQ person in many communities still and in many environments. But if you have that minority basically that is there to support, provide information, and that shares the values, that can be incredibly useful in all kinds of environments. It's just, we do not know in academia, we do not know much about all kinds of gay straight alliances happening in Europe. And I think this is a very under-researched field, actually.
Are you working on any research at the moment, or do you plan to look at such a research?
I am actually working on something small with my student on ERGs in Bratislava. So I hope we will be able to publish that next year. And we're actually looking into the cooperation of ERGs with outside activist organizations. We're looking at the motivations of employees in ERGs and the cooperation, the network. So there's a lot to look at. And I'm very interested in this. And there's another, there's a PhD student actually in Bratislava that I know and I hopefully will be working with, who is looking into the engagement of companies in pride marches. So this is something that is quite interesting for us in Bratislava as well, because you would expect companies to be engaged in pride purely of economic rational reasons. I mean, they are seeking clients, they are seeking consumers. But in a hostile environment, like in Slovakia, she is looking into what is the motivation of the companies when they can actually lose customers for being engaged in the Pride March. So this is quite interesting. Also, not only in practical terms, but from the point of social movements theory. So I'm very much looking forward to this.
Actually, it sounds quite interesting. I would be also quite interested to hear what the results will be. Maybe we'll make even a podcast series out of it.
I will keep you posted. A year from now.
But I mean, when it comes to the East Meets West network, we are basically everywhere in the Central and Eastern Europe. So if we can give you any help, any connection, I'm sure that we can do it. But let me now summarize what I heard. And it's actually a kind of test for myself, if I paid attention, right? Because I wrote down five bullet points. So it's about visibility. Right. So visibility, and with this visibility, also helping people to come out in a business environment, to come out at workplace. It's about community. So this sense of belonging. It's about challenging the stereotypes. Right. So challenging the status quo. It's about also this political aspect. And finally, it also can provide consultancy, right? Mm-hmm. It's basically a certain resource group where the management or the rest of the organization can tap on. Did I pass the test?
Yes, wonderful. And thank you for summarizing this. I think that all the viewers and the listeners can actually think about their own ERG and to think about which of these objectives their ERG is actually fulfilling, and think about what are the other options, where they can go with their initiative.
Excellent. Well, Veronika, thank you very much for joining me in the studio today.